This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
It's time to come out of the closet, unbelievers one and all. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm an out-of-the-closet atheist. And this is the weekend of October 23rd and 24th, 2010.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. And I just lost faith in faith.
And that's the statement you make on your very own friendly neighborhood atheist billboard and bus sign here in Madison, Wisconsin, right?
Billboards, personal billboards and bus signs. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. And the show is also airing in Anchorage, Grand Rapids, Atlanta, Monterey, and podcasting everywhere.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're an educational charity, a 501c3 nonprofit group that works to educate the public about non-theism and to keep state and church separate. And we happen to be the largest association in the country of atheists and agnostics. Our members are freethinkers of whatever stripe or under the umbrella of free thought, which means people who use reason informing their opinion about religion.
And we do need to be under an umbrella because the state church violations are raining down on us all the time. Stay tuned to today's show because later we'll be interviewing the very funny and very smart Julia Sweeney on the second half of today's show in about a half an hour. Julia Sweeney, the Saturday Night Live alum, comedian, playwright of the exceptional and exceptionally funny play, which is now a movie called Letting Go of God. And Julia is one of our keynote speakers next weekend at FFRF's 33rd Annual National Convention in downtown Madison. If you haven't signed up yet, there's still some room, but better sign up quickly online at our website. Go to ffrf.org/outreach/convention right now as we are approaching capacity. The convention begins next Friday afternoon, October 29th at the Concourse Hotel and continues through Saturday and part of Sunday.
So it'll be a Halloween weekend. And we have a very special welcome for the 700 participants expected to congregate here in Madison, Wisconsin for the annual national convention.
We'll have a billboard on the main drag that everyone uses driving in from the airport on East Johnson Street, right after the intersections of First and Fordham Avenues by the railroad tracks there. On your left, as you're coming into town, will be the cheery face of Julia Sweeney, advertising the convention with her free thought testimony, which says, "I read the Bible. Now I'm a proud atheist."
And when FFRFers leave town on Sunday after the convention and you head back the same way to the airport, on the reverse side of this same billboard, you'll see a very charming photo of our bookkeeper, Katie, who's a young 23-year-old. She's wearing a godless goddess shirt. That was her own slogan, bearing some chocolate chip cookies and saying, "I like biking, baking, and sleeping in on Sundays."
And this is really a cute billboard. It's the first time we've ever done an extension, a cutout. She actually extends above the billboard itself.
So you will notice it. And that's just the beginning. FFRF is unveiling its new educational out-of-the-closet Meet Your Friendly Neighborhood Atheist Agnostic campaign here in Madison on king-size exterior bus ads. And there are 13 different freethinkers with 13 different messages. They came up by themselves expressing their own personal views on buses that travel to the downtown Capitol Concourse, and that's close to the hotel, the Concourse Hotel.
So 13 bus signs for a convention on Halloween
there you go.
Weekend? Oh. Our theme is, for this campaign, Many faces make enlightenment work. Did you pick that phrase anywhere?
That is Bill Dunn, our talented editor.
That's cute. Too many Americans have never knowingly met an atheist or an unbeliever. That contributes to our marginalization and is one of the reasons we're at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to social acceptance.
And we were brainstorming about how to personalize the Free Thought message, how to debunk negative stereotypes, how to use all the great slogans that our members are continually sending me for their own ideas about billboards and bus sign slogans. And our daughter Sabrina, who is a UW-Madison student, actually came up with this idea. She was saying, why not use real people? Picture them, have them choose a short statement about their non-belief. And she immediately proposed the statement, I have faith in myself, not in a God. And so that statement is actually now found with her picture on a Madison bus sign right now.
And I imagine that's making her somewhat popular with among her friends and the UW students, seeing her face huge.
Well, we don't know about that, Dan.
Well,
popular or unpopular?
Well, it's probably both. This strategy worked for the gay rights movement, so it's time for atheists and agnostics to come out of our closet. Annie, Laurie, and I are both featured in the Madison Bus campaign, along with other FFRF staffers, college students, professionals, and some retired FFRF members.
And two of our national speakers, Julia Sweeney again, of course. In this case, her bus sign is very cute. It says, oh my God, there is no God. OMG, there is no God. Julia Sweeney, comedian, playwright, atheist. And then, it advertises the convention.
And it's really cute. And then Steve Benson is on one of the signs. Steve is the editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic, who will actually be at the convention with me doing our Tunes and Tunes show. His says, it's his smiling face there, and it says, I freed my mind when I left God behind. And I'll just read some of the others.
It identifies him as an ex-Mormon.
As an ex-Mormon, that's right, yeah. I'll read just some of the others here. They're really, really pleasing. There's bright background colors, friendly faces. Bobby Hines is an internationally known fitness expert and an entrepreneur and a lifetime FFRF member. His bus sign says, being kind with an open mind is my religion. And he describes himself as a humanist. Then Barbara Wright, who used to own a very popular restaurant here in Madison, Wisconsin, she says, it's not what you believe, but how you behave.
And she describes herself as a sustainable foodie and a freethinker.
Sustainable foodie. Katie, 23, Madison, an atheist. Her slogan is, keep your theology off my biology. Connie Trinan, from Middleton. She's an unabashed atheist.
A very well-known feminist.
And a feminist as well. Her slogan is, chemistry and the unconscious force of physics are my gods. Scott Colson, who's our webmaster at FFRF, he's 26. His slogan is, catechism failed, reason won. Bill Dunn, our editor.
From Middleton.
He's from Middleton, an ex-Catholic also. His slogan is, no one died for my sins. Bonnie, who's also executive assistant at our office, who's 25, or 26, is it? She says, I value freedom and democracy over theocracy. And then you heard Sabrina's already. Then there's Kendra from Madison, a nursing student.
And she's a regular volunteer at our office.
She says, I don't need a God to be happy. And she's got this big, bright, grinning smile on the bus sign. And then there's mine that says, I just lost faith in faith. And Annie Laurie's, which says, give me human rights over religious rights.
R-I-T-E-S. And that was my third proposal because billboard companies, we agreed they could decide which they would accept and which they wouldn't.
So some of them,
and I didn't regard this the others as particularly radical.
Some of them have been censored because they thought it was a bit too strong.
Well, they were. We agreed on that. So yeah. I would call it censorship, but I guess amended. And I want to thank and salute everybody who participated in this. And then joining all these 13 people, we have another dozen up on rotating digital billboard on Madison's Beltline. So if you're in town, you can go to the West Beltline and 2,100 feet west of Rimrock Road, you'll see this great big digital billboard north of the road. And you really can go and should go and perch your car. There's a hilltop where you can stay and give yourself about 20 minutes to view all of the rotating signs. And we share this digital billboard with other advertisers.
And so there's one out of the closet billboard up for like 10 seconds every minute, right? One of them is Eleanor, who's a student in Madison, Wisconsin, and an atheist. She says, Living Gives My Life Meaning. And then Wendy Goldberg, who's a volunteer for the foundation, she's an attorney from Marshall. She says, I am ethical and moral without religion. Melanie, who's also a staffer at the foundation, who she calls herself a born-again skeptic, she says, recovering Catholic, living for the moment. Patrick in from Madison, who's our attorney, says, going from Catholic to atheist set me free.
Jessica Brooks, she's a doctoral student and an atheist. I stopped believing when I ran out of excuses. Tiffany, a volunteer and atheist, accepting reality challenges me to grow. And are there a few more?
Jody Johnson, I practice Jodyism, she says. And then Andy, who's 23, says, I have faith in people, not in a God. Bob, who's 54, says, religion is the problem, reason the solution.
And then there's Dennis, who simply identified himself as a citizen and an atheist. I'm good without God. So thanks to everyone who participated. And we plan to take this around the country, city by city or state by state, utilizing real FFRF members in their own community to introduce them to their community. And this is something that's never been done before. So if you want to work with FFRF on this, we're looking for individuals or groups or chapters that will coordinate this campaign. It does take a lot of coordination with FFRF in their own communities. And you can call me or you can email me. You can call 1-800-335-4021 or email me at advertising@FFRF.org. And we'll try to take our campaign to a community near you if we have your help. And now we have time, I hope, for some clips from Dan's interview on 60 Minutes Australia about the sainthood of Mary
Mary MacKillop, and this is a Monsignor talking in this 60-minute segment. We can't play the whole thing, but there were two places where I was quoted, and I'm responding to this Monsignor.
Were there any doubts at all with the Mary MacKillop miracles?
None. The case was so radical and so inexplicable that doctors both in Australia, who were also non-Catholic as part of the team, and the doctors in Rome felt that there was absolutely no possible human explanation for what happened.
You don't believe in miracles,
well,
clearly.
No. And in the 20th century, who should believe in miracles?
I do want to say
Dan Barker, a former Anglican minister, now atheist, is one who isn't buying all the Mary mania.
Suppose it's true. Suppose there is this dead woman floating up there somewhere for a century. Thousands of people are praying to her, right? She has this ability to answer their prayers and do a miracle, to cure lung cancer or leukemia or burn victim or whatever else it was. And in an entire century, she picks two people. And the other thousands, she decides to ignore them. She just decides, well, no, I don't care. I'm not going to listen to them. Doesn't that make her something of a moral monster?
Why aren't miracles performed for everybody?
It's a good question, and I don't have the answer. I don't think anybody does.
And don't you just love the Australian accent? Dan Barker. And
but,
here's a little
by,
more.
By the way, I was not an Anglican minister. They got that wrong. I was evangelical.
Here's a little more from that national broadcast in Australia. And you can also find that at FFRF.org. Go to the news link and check under FFRF in the news or go to video in the same link.
Basically, that's the Christian message. Love God and love one another. That's our market. That's what we're selling. And I think Australians will buy it.
Australians can stand on their head and pray to Mother Goose and speak in tongues if they want. It's a free country. But as a proud secular country, I would think Australia would be sort of rolling its eyes at this undue amount of attention that we're putting on this apparently a very nice woman, but who's dead and she can't do anything now. So that was fun to be a part of that program. Coming up, we'll be talking about some religion in politics news and other sobering news about the unfortunate power of prayer.
Hi, my name's Bob Sarufka from Chicago, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And Annie Laurie and I are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
We've been talking about the Out of the Closet campaign and Dan on 60 Minutes, Australia. Now we have some very distressing news about the power of prayer. And that would be the story from October 12th that a Canadian father is in custody near Montreal after his daughter, 13, died. And he allegedly slapped her because she refused to say prayers with him, according to neighbors. And that her 71-year-old father, who had become very enraged, is in custody. Nuteen Sedim, 13, died a week ago Saturday evening in suburban Longueuil, Quebec, Canada, 3 days after she was rushed to hospital unconscious and bleeding from her nose. Her father, Moussa Sedim, had called 911 and was arrested and charged with aggravated assault. That charge might be upgraded, police say. Neighbors say Nuteen was a polite girl who was often unable to please her elderly father. Others who lived in the apartment building south of Montreal said the girl sometimes neglected to say daily prayers, which always infuriated him. A neighbor said he was mean, that she'd seen him grab the daughter by the arm because she wouldn't go to say her prayers. A very sobering story.
There's the harm of religion. You'll recall that the Alliance Defense Fund has urged pastors to violate IRS law by endorsing candidates from the pulpit. And we have some audio of one such pastor, Brad Brandon of Minnesota, who not only endorsed from his Berean Bible Baptist Church in Hastings pulpit, but handed out a written list from governor to U.S. Congress of his chosen people. And he ended that list with, "May God be glorified in the upcoming election. God bless America." Listen to this clip.
And my endorsement this morning goes behind Tom Emmer and Annette Meeks, because I believe that they are in line with what is being preached. Secretary of State, then next, I endorse Dan Doc Severson. I know Dan Severson as a personal friend, and he is a fantastic Christian man who would stand here this morning if he were here and say the very things that I said. And if he were in this congregation, he'd be amening louder than anybody else. He is a fantastic man and a great, solid Christian guy. Some of you have met him. Dan Doc Severson, running for Secretary of State for the Republican Party.
There you have it, just an excerpt, and this is illegal because this is a tax-exempt institute. The rest of us are supporting this.
Now we have some astonishing audio of the by now infamous Christine O'Donnell debating Chris Coons for Senate in Delaware last week, and the topic of creationism in schools came up. Here's a sample of that debate.
Where in the Constitution is separation of church and state?
It's in... No, an excellent point.
Hold on, please. Please, let's have some respect for the panelists and the questions they brought today and let them dictate a little bit, at least, on where we go with this, okay?
Let me just clarify.
Please.
You're telling me that the separation of church and state is found in the First Amendment.
Government shall make no establishment of religion.
That's in the First Amendment.
She seems surprised, doesn't she? Oh, it's really there.
Yeah, now that was her comment about the First Amendment. I thought we were listening. Let's listen to the one about creationism. It's the same debate with Chris Coons.
To be clear, Ms. O'Donnell, I believe that creationism is religious doctrine and that evolution is broadly accepted. Creationism, which
theory of intelligent
design is religious doctrine.
Two different things.
Evolution is widely accepted, well-defended scientific fact, and our schools should be teaching science. If we want to instruct our children in religious doctrine and religious practice as my wife and I choose to, that's wonderful. That's what our churches are for. And that's what private or parochial schools are for. But our public schools should be teaching broadly accepted scientific fact, not religious doctrine.
Wow, you've just proved how little you know, not just about constitutional law, but about the theory of evolution. Because the theory of evolution is not a fact.
The theory of evolution is not a fact. She doesn't know their separation of church and state in the First Amendment. She was also, if you listen to the whole thing, didn't seem to know about any of the amendments, including the 14th Amendment. So kind of another sobering look at religion intruding into politics. And there were other incidents in the last week in campaign debates where other politicians around the country were saying similar things. She's not the only one.
Yeah. And she also thinks that local schools should be free to teach whatever they want, even if it goes against the United States Constitution.
Or even if it's not true. Now, who's coming up, Dan?
On the second half of today's show, stay tuned for the very funny and very smart Julia Sweeney. Julia Sweeney will be speaking. What's the title of her talk at our convention?
My Beautiful Loss of Faith Story.
Which is the title of a book she's working on. Julia Sweeney is an actress and a comedian, an alumna of Saturday Night Live and in many different movies. She's always fun to talk with, and she's got an interesting take from her Catholic, Irish Catholic family about why she said, "Oh my God, there is no God." So stay tuned for Julia Sweeney right after this break.
My name is Bruce Wakelin. I'm from Culver, Indiana, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker, and we have Julia Sweeney on the phone.
And everybody knows who Julia Sweeney is, the actress who's played in a number of movies, and maybe she can remind us about some of those. The TV show Saturday Night Live, she was a regular cast member of that and is an alumna of that show. The script writer and the playwright of her own plays. One of them is God Said Ha, a very funny show about someone dying of cancer. Imagine that. In the Family Way, about adopting a little Chinese girl. And her newest, Letting Go of God, which is a play, which is a video, and is also a movie. And I think it showed on Showtime, did it? Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Julia.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you've been on TV and on movies and in plays and on Broadway, but have you ever been on a bus sign or on a billboard?
No, never.
Well, we are very pleased that we can add that to your,
I'm so excited.
Your CD.
You should be. Well, when you come up to town for the convention next week, you should definitely go on East Johnson and see yourself welcoming all the conventioners. With
I
your face.
I will.
How tall is it? Is it a 14-footer or a 10-footer?
I think it's a poster size, but it'll stand out. You can't miss it.
Oh, God.
And then you might see yourself on a bus at the Capitol Square whizzing by or alternating on a digital billboard on the Beltline, and we should definitely take you there.
Wow.
So it's our Out of the Closet campaign, and we're very delighted to have a celebrity join us.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You picked, the first one you picked was, "Oh my God, there is no God," which is a line from your play, Letting Go of God.
You were the one that remembered that.
I did.
I was like, everything I could remember was too long and complicated, but that was a good suggestion.
Well, because
I added the, "Oh my God, there is no God."
Yeah, like, OMG, there is no
yeah,
God.
Yeah, OMG.
It's cute.
Well, because your play has these great lines, but they're a little bit long for a bus sign, and they're in context, you know. But that one really jumped out.
But it was too controversial for the billboard company. So you gave us a new slogan for that. You want to say, do you remember what that was?
It was, "Read the Bible." I did. Now I'm a proud atheist.
and they changed it.
I actually like that one better.
Yeah, it's actually harder hitting. They changed it to, "I read the Bible and now I'm a proud atheist."
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's good.
It's not as punchy, but they couldn't fit the whole thing on that way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
So, yeah. And so that's on
I love that, "Oh, my God," because I guess the idea is that you're taking the Lord's name in vain
right.
before
yeah.
you're saying there is no God. It's too much for them.
Right. I guess that was it. Because your other statement is actually more severe
I
on
know.
Religion.
That's true. It's so funny. That reminds me of when when I was on Saturday Night Live, I wrote a sketch with Alec Baldwin where he played a very handsome priest. It was based on an experience I had in high school and how I started flirting with the priest with my sins, you know, and then I said something like, the sketch went on, and then finally, and I don't want to leave the confessional is the part of the joke, and then I say, I broke my diet last week, and I ate a whole box of Oreos, and then he says, "Well, that's not really a sin." And I said, "Well, it is if you're on a diet." And then he said, "Oh, I love Oreos. I love to unscrew them and lick out the creamy center." And then the censor said we couldn't say lick out the creamy center. And they sent an alternative for us, which was eat out the creamy center.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't,
kind of clueless.
I don't see what's wrong with either one of those.
Where did
anyway,
that...
we thought that was so funny.
Was that on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, and we ended up... I think we did it for the East Coast. We did one way and the West Coast the other way. But
oh,
to
no.
me, their suggestion was so much more lurid than
yeah.
what we had written.
Well, especially now that you're thinking of it that way.
Yeah. I know it.
Hey, and you weren't even an atheist then.
No.
You were just irreverent.
And you know what? That was actually, now that I realize, you know, that when people think of priests now, the first thing they think of, I think, is the pedophilia and everything with the priests and all the sex scandals. This was really before that, and it was, like, it would have had a different context now. I mean, I just realized in
right.
only 20 years, it was acceptable to kind of laugh about a young girl flirting with
uh-huh.
a priest who's cute, and now they probably wouldn't like the whole idea of it, which
yeah.
is actually a successful thing, I think, because
yeah.
now, you know, the problems of that institution are so much more in the public's consciousness.
Well, that was kind of the Thornbirds idea, huh?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, but whose fault is it that their image has that association now?
Well, it's their own fault.
Yeah.
But of course, I don't think of it being known as a fault because I'm glad it's known. But it's, well, you know, it's just the whole church is so, you know, has so many problems. And the whole idea of having these supposedly celibate men who are supposed to completely dedicate their lives to serving others while not giving in ever to any kind of, I mean, just everything from so many angles, it's so screwed up. So for me, I'm glad about that. I'm glad that when you think of the word priest, that's what you think of now. I think that's going to help in a generation or two really reduce the number of Catholics in America by a lot.
You know, William Lobdell, who wrote his book about losing his faith, losing my religion. Well, he thinks, because he interviewed a lot of the families of victims, and he thinks there are no innocent priests. They're not all molesting kids, of course, but they all know about it. They all have
right.
friends and colleagues, and they're keeping their mouth shut about this.
Right.
So they're all part of this whole
right
this
conspiracy.
Well, it's a whole culture of lying, actually. I mean, the whole idea that you're trying to recruit people who, where truth is supposedly this great value, but then you're asking them to lie in so many ways. And the whole culture of Catholicism is about secrets and authority and, you know, the people inside know this, but those sheep outside know that. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I don't know how people of integrity can be part of it in any way, even though, you know, I still correspond actually with my high school priest who I really love.
Was he cute?
No, he was older. I didn't think of him like that. Father Bowley was a cute priest. There was a couple of cute priests. I don't know whatever happened to them. But Father Fitterer, who had taught me religion and ran retreats and everything and got really into transcendental meditation, he was like a real kind of hippie priest. He still works in Seattle at Seattle University, and he still sends me, we send each other cards. And he sends me little notes saying, how is your relationship with God going these days?
No, not so good. Didn't you get a divorce?
I know. Like, and, you know, it's hard because I don't like to think of him in a negative way because I really like him. But I really have come to have almost 100% negative view of the church and the priests in the church.
When you were talking about the Roman Catholic Church and lying, we had a college essay winner. We have a college essay competition, and one of the students who won recounted their first confession where
oh, yeah.
the priest was egging her on, you know, she didn't have any sins to confess, and he was telling her to lie. He was saying, well, make some up. You know, and then she said, there's something really
wow.
wrong with this.
No, I think the whole thing is about tribalism and keeping in the group. It's just sort of a bigger version of a screwed up family that teaches you allegiance over honesty and the truth. I mean, I feel like that in my own family. I mean, my family has people that I love, but in our culture of our family, being, you know, keeping secrets and we didn't really have terrible secrets. No one was being molested or anything like that, but we had a lot of alcoholism. And in general, there was just this attitude of keep this secret and that's in the family, and loyalty to the family was really a higher value. I mean, I believe in loyalty to the family in certain ways, but when it's at the cost of telling the truth or just even feeling comfortable about certain facts, it's not good, I don't think.
Well, your shanty Irish family, as you describe it, had to have some members who had a fondness for the pint.
Oh, it's so sad. It's actually so sad. I thought about it a lot this week because I have one brother who's really probably going to die in the next year from alcoholism. And then there's others in our family who've married people with problems. And it's just a lot of alcohol stuff. and the alcohol, it isn't even just the alcohol. It's a whole way of being. It's a whole way of secrets and protecting people and looking the other way so much that you don't even realize you're doing it.
Now, Julia, you were thinking about your working title for a while, and then you emailed me, I think, last week.
Yep.
That it's going to be my beautiful loss of faith story. I've always liked that phrase when you've used that.
For the convention speech?
For the convention speech.
Yes.
And that because you are now working on a book.
I'm finally doing it, and I have to say, I don't know what, I mean, we could spend hours and it would be so boring about why I couldn't write this book till now, but my problems are with procrastination. I get overwhelming procrastination. And this book, I've written so many notes. I've written like over 200 pages and gone back and forth with an editor in New York. And then I just could not complete this book. And then finally I sat down and I made a timetable for myself that is 2 years long, but is absolutely doable, you know?
And well, I can't wait. And I'm so glad you're doing it. And we'll come back and talk some more about that in a minute. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're speaking with Julia Sweeney. I'm here in the studio with Dan Barker, and we'll be right back.
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we've been talking on the phone and still having the phone with us, the inimitable Julia Sweeney, the actress, comedian, playwright, and monologuist.
And she'll be joining us at the Freedom From Religion Foundation on Halloween weekend. And it's going to be fun. Her beautiful loss of faith story.
Beautiful Loss of Faith, which is a book she's working on. And yes. Julia, your movie, Letting Go of God, it's a DVD. And did it play on Showtime or one of those networks?
Yeah, it's actually still playing on Showtime.
Oh, it still is. Okay.
And yeah, I think they have it for another month because they had it for a year. And I think it started December 1st. So yeah, every once in a while I go on Showtime and look. And it's not on the main showcase. It's on Showtime Showcase. Which is, you know, they have like Showtime 1, 2, and 3. It's one of those.
Oh, it's the elite one, then.
Let's yeah, exactly.
For people with discerning tastes.
Right. Yeah. And then it's also on Showtime Women, which I don't know anyone who gets. I don't know if that even really exists.
Well, it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
And you probably get a lot of fan mail and email and...
invitations. I still get a lot of stuff, especially when it's playing on Showtime. I'll get, you know, 15 letters online or something. But yesterday I went and picked up, because I have a P.O. box, and I went to the post office, and I got a long letter from a Jehovah's Witness who'd seen the show with an advanced copy of the November issue of their magazine. And the cover is, Are Atheists Taking Over America?
Really? Showcases?
No.
Well, on their Jehovah's Witness magazine.
Oh,
yeah.
The Jehovah's...
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. Wouldn't that be fun?
I know. It just made me laugh.
About time.
Now, I remember when we went to New York City to see you perform, one of the first times you did it in Broadway, or right off Broadway there.
Yeah.
And you told us the producers were kind of nervous, like... Who's going to come to see a play, a Broadway play, about somebody losing their faith in God? This isn't going to work. But then tell us what happened.
Well, then it was a big hit. I mean, you know, I first was brought to New York and they said I could do a show about anything I wanted. And I said, well, the biggest thing that's happened to me is this experience where I lost my faith. And I mean, it was just this huge life-changing event. And they were like, yeah, anything but that. So that's actually how I wrote my second monologue, which was about adopting Mulan, which I thought, you know, I thought I had some interesting, funny things to say about that, but not really that unique. And
it's very funny.
I'm compelled to tell about it. I mean, I'm proud of it, but it, you know.
It's great. So we went to see it, and it's funny.
And poignant and just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of it, but I did that, and then I went back to L.A., and I thought, well, I'm doing this other show, so I did it, and it was really a big hit in L.A. It ran for, like, 9 or 10 months in L.A., and then we filmed it, and I did it. I ended up doing it in New York, and then we filmed it, so...
And it's a tour de force because is it 2 hours long?
It's 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
I mean,
long.
It's a huge... I mean, just thinking of the memorization. Wow.
For a long time, I didn't think I could memorize that much. I thought it was actually physically impossible for me to. And I remember calling Michael Newdow. Remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yes, and saying, because he's a lawyer and a doctor. And I was like, how... Is it possible for my brain to memorize this much stuff? And he's like, yes, it is. You have to just record it and play it back to yourself twice a day, and then say it along with yourself, and you'll think you won't get it, but in 30 days, you'll have it. And he was pretty much right.
How did he know that?
I don't know, because he doesn't even do that. I mean, it's actually not comparable to what he knows, but I just thought he was somebody who seemed really adept at memorizing a lot
of
information.
He's smart.
Yeah, he's very
really
smart.
So. Well, it worked, and it sounds so natural and flowing, and it's. I took my daughter to see you in Los Angeles, and I told Becky, we better bring some duct tape to tape up your ribs because you're going to laugh out of the chair. And she really did. And we're laughing about these things, and she's wondering, should I be laughing about this?
And well, you've deconverted a lot of people. I mean, William Lobdell in his book.
I saw that.
Gives you a lot of credit. He went to see your play when he was having this angst about religion.
In fact, I was actually feeling, I mean, this will sound like I was feeling down, but I really wasn't. I guess it's because I've been thinking a lot about politics lately, and I'm worried about this election coming up and everything. And I was thinking, have I ever done anything that's really made any difference? Like, politically, I was thinking. And I was thinking, probably not, actually. I mean, like, I say my views, and I consider myself a, you know, liberal Democrat. And I feel like I'm a social libertarian, is what I call myself, and a... You know, otherwise, though, I would say I'm a, you know, progressive. And I was thinking, but, you know, has anything ever changed because of me? You know, nothing. Every single thing politically would be exactly the same if I'd never been born. And then I thought, has anything been different because of me? I thought, I think the only thing I could really take credit for is I think I have convinced a lot of people that their believing in God is just bogus in a big way.
Well, that should be made into a movie, the opposite of the one that we have to look at every Christmas.
Oh, the wonderful life.
Yeah, it's a wonderful life.
We can call it a beautiful life.
Yes.
A beautiful loss of life story. A beautiful loss of faith.
I mean, it's
story.
Had a huge repercussions. And of course, you're just like a huge celebrity in the free thought world. But how do you keep your hand in? Do you still do the play from time to time so you can?
No.
No,
I really
stopped.
I mean, that's the kind of show you really have to be. It's almost like, you know, I mean, this is probably aggrandizing myself, but it's kind of like being in the Olympics or something.
Yeah,
like,
I can imagine.
To do that show, you really have to, I mean, for me, I had to, like, spend so long just learning it and then putting it up because it was kind of complicated and had images and I had to, you know, the lighting and everything.
And it's also, I mean, it's a very sincere, it's very, very funny, but it's also very emotional. I mean,
I also feel, you know, because I've done 3 one-person shows. And I feel like I move on from them. It's not like I change my mind about them or don't. It's like I just keep growing, just like anything. Like if I were going to do that show now, it's too far away from when it actually happened to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm running into that with my book. In fact, in the beginning of my book, I write, you know, when I did my show, I kind of tried to do it as it was happening. But now, so many years, I can only look back with my perspective now. Yeah. And so it would be really hard for me to do that show again now.
Well, I'm the same way, but I still tell my story all over the country. But, I've been telling the story.
And I'm so glad you do.
Well, I've been telling it for 25 years.
What is your story, Danny?
Danny, Losing Faith in Faith from Preacher to Atheist.
Right.
And I have to tell you, Julia, once in a while, I will try one of your expressions or the way you say it when I'm saying the same thing, and the people laugh. So I've learned you changed the world for the better, Julia. I'll just stand there and I'll say, how would Julia say this? And I'll roll my eyes and the audience breaks up. Like, it's the same word.
Well,
so.
That's an actress.
See? But I probably was copying that from my mom and dad because they were funny. I mean, my dad mostly, but.
Well, we're out of time here, but we're looking forward to seeing you next week.
I know. I'm really excited.
Well, thank you for stopping by at our convention, and people can sign up at ffrf.org/outreach/convention. Sorry, it's so complicated.
And Julia's speaking on Saturday?
You're speaking Saturday afternoon. We put you on after lunch because we want people to come back.
Good.
We know they will.
All right, great.
And there'll be hopefully a little time for questions and answers.
Oh, yeah.
And reunion, and we can't wait.
I look forward to meeting people.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
We've been talking with Julia Sweeney, the actress and comedian. We want to also thank our producer of our show. His name is Brian Turani. He's the engineer and producer. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded here in Madison, Wisconsin. Sign up for the podcast. Go to ffrf.org/radio. Or you can listen to archives of all the previous shows at that same site, ffrf.org/radio.
We want to invite you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces Free Thought Radio, which takes lawsuits. We have 7 in court right now, including our very important appeal of the National Day of Prayer. We have a newspaper, Free Thought Today, and we have an Out of the Closet campaign that needs your support. And you can ask for more information, or you can join us. You can call 1-800-335-4021 or join us, sign up at ffrf.org. There's all kinds of ways to join us at our website.
Or maybe have your own face and slogan on a billboard or bus sign someday.
And next week we'll be talking with Eric Workman, who is our Thomas Jefferson Student Activist Awardee, who will be speaking at the convention. So it's not too late. Sign up for the convention now, next week.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday